So the big question is this: how do entrepreneurial salespeople like us, who have traditionally sold alone and used gut and intuition to hit their number, take their innate talents and begin selling using science, technology, and the secrets of thousands who have done it before to crush their quota and change the world? That is the question, and this podcast provides the answers. All right, welcome everybody to the Sales Secrets Podcast. Today we're going to be talking about something a little different: empathy in sales, what that means, how you can align it with your sales goals. And to do that, we've brought on Daryl Fletcher, relationship strategist and communication specialist. It was interesting. Daryl and I were kind of going back on LinkedIn, and I was like, this guy looks fascinating. I got to have him on the podcast. And he was kind enough to oblige. So Daryl, thanks for joining. And how the heck are you?
Oh, man, I'm fine, Gabe. I appreciate the invite, and I appreciate the connection, man. That's what life and relationships are all about, having the opportunity to connect.
Amen, man. Amen. And I love the LinkedIn has been, it's just a great tool. I love meeting new people. The podcast is obviously fun for me as well, as you'll find out here. Before we get into this concept of empathetic selling and using empathy, can you tell us just a little bit about yourself and kind of your background?
Well, my background is I have a degree in business administration and a minor in marketing, and I spent several years in advertising in newspaper. And then when the big boom of the digital boom hit, my lifestyle was affected. And so I had to find a new way to actually connect with our customers and connect with, you know, people that I did business with. And so digital sales has been a part of my life for the last, I would say, 15 years.
Nice.
And so it's one of those things where, like, man, you really, it's a thing that you really have to understand, that you cannot pigeonhole yourself into a particular style, a particular program. You have to be ready to evolve, because as business evolves, you have to evolve as well. And so I've been doing this. I coach and consult different executives and sales teams, giving them practical tools on how they can actually begin to be more powerful and increase their profit through empathetic sales skills. And so I do this through a variety of ways, like I said, through coaching and through consulting and actually keynote speaking, and just giving those highlight points of giving people that that high level view of, oh my goodness, there are some changes that I can begin to make in this empathetic sales model that I do.
I love it. I love it. And I can't wait to dive into it. When I first heard the topic, I was like, oh, that's interesting. That's something you don't hear about every single day. So it's always fun to hear something new. You know, when people are, no offense to cold calling or social selling or something like that, you're like, oh geez, I've heard that one. But empathetic selling, I'm not here very much, so I'm excited to dive in. But before we do, tell us, just, we were talking pre-show, was it horses? You kind of have a passionate hobby. Was,
yes, I have a passion for horses. I've been riding horses since I was 8 years old.
Is that right?
Here's the unique thing about it. I'm above average height. I'm 6'7". So at 6'7", riding a horse, not too many people, you know, at my height you see on a horse. And so I have big horses. I'm a big person. I do things big.
I love it, man. Yeah, 6'7". That should have been your unique fact. That is big. That would have been, you know, I was a wannabe basketball player. I could have used some 6'7" instead of my 6 foot, 150 pound frame. I've put on a couple pounds since then. I won't tell you.
But, yeah. The thing about me is when I played high school and college ball, I was 6'7" at 100 and maybe 90 pounds, maybe 195 pounds. So I was a long, lanky.
Yeah.
Now I'm like 6'7" and 225, a little bit better built. However, I have the wisdom, but I don't have the age in order to
play
basketball.
That's right. That's right, man. Dang it. Yeah, we both missed out. Either way, life still is great.
Exactly.
So I'm excited to dive into this empathy formula and how people can start thinking and using it. But maybe you can back up just a little bit and explain how you stumbled, how you discovered this kind of concept of empathy and put it into a concoction to make it work for your clients.
Well, as a communication specialist, I totally believe and have studied that empathy is actually the secret sauce to connection and communication.
Yeah.
So many times people focus on the different types of communication, and they tell you how to say words better, and they tell you how to be a better listener, and all that is good. But the key part of that we really have to begin to understand is that there are fundamentally four conversations going on anytime you're trying to sell something, anytime you're having a conversation. And those four conversations is what was said versus what was heard, what was meant versus what was actually felt. Hmm. And so in order to be effective in your communication, you have to get all four of those on the same page. What I said is what you actually heard. What I meant is what you actually felt. And it's really important when we're in our sales and we're having our sales conversations, if we align those with our sales goal by simply being empathetic to the person that we're having that conversation with. And but most people don't know how to be empathetic. They know the term sympathetic, and that basically means I feel sorry for you. But empathy is the ability to put myself in your shoes, and now we can build that bridge of connection.
Well, do you feel like, Dale, sorry, that empathy versus sympathy, you got me thinking. So empathy is the ability to put myself in their shoes, but what is sympathy then? Sympathy is just
I feel sorry for you.
You just feel sorry.
Like,
yeah.
You know, I feel sorry for you. Or I wish I can help, or, you know, things like that. And so point in case, I just recently came back from Puerto Rico on a missions trip. And so, you know, as of course we know, Puerto Rico has been hit by hurricanes, and things are just happening. And so in that regard, before I went, I had sympathy. You know, I was feeling sorry for them. I was feeling, you know, like, man, that's really sucks the way things have really gone down. But when I spent the time on the island, my empathy level rose. I began to put myself in their shoes. And as I began to put myself in their shoes, my feeling sorry went down, and I began to see the resilience of the people of the island. I began to see their power. I began to see what they actually need. They really didn't need my sympathy. What they needed for me is to understand where they actually are coming from and how they can actually move forward. Because I actually got to an opportunity to learn some history about the island. And the last hurricane that was this catastrophic was about 100 years ago. And I began to ask, well, how did you guys rebuild? And they were like, you know what? We rebuild and we put systems in place in order to help us. And so that gave me the empathy that, you know what? I don't have to feel sorry for them. I just have to help them in order to build those structures and those systems so this type of thing wouldn't happen again.
So empathy, it's that ability to put yourself in the shoes of others. Interesting story about Puerto Rico. So do you feel like, is this something that people can learn? I mean, I guess you've got a formula for it, but sometimes I feel like it is something that it's more like just a God-given trait. Some people have it, some people don't. Can it be learned?
No. It can be learned. Let me give you a case study. There was a case study some years ago, not too long ago, and where they were questioning, is empathy a trait or, you know, something that you're born with, or is it a skill?
Yes.
And so they looked at two different factors. They looked at male and female and began to ask, are women more empathetic than men? And so when you just look at it on surface level and begin to present different scenarios to them, men were less empathetic than females were.
Yeah.
Now, however, when you made a motivational factor such as money or a reward and begin to attach the same type of scenarios and the same type of questions, the gap shrunk, and it was men were more empathetic because they had a motivational factor. Mm. And so we just have to learn how to speak the language of the people that we come in contact with in order to be empathetic or to train them how to be empathetic. Now, the second part of the case study was the fact that they began to look at, once again, was it a trait or a skill? Same type of situation. The people gave them a little bit more motivational factor. And when the people had a more motivational factor or more, if I like to use the word, connection to what was actually going on, the empathy level shrunk and it became less of a trait and more of a skill. Therefore, we have the opportunity to learn the skill of empathy. Empathy is not a trait. It is a developed skill that everyone can develop. You just have to be motivated in order to do it.
Wow. Interesting. So people can learn it. Interesting. So there's actually been some data on that. That makes sense. It is a pretty important trait. How do then people start to move down this direction? I don't want to steal all your secret sauce, but walk me through a little bit of the formula. How can someone start to take on some of these qualities so they can actually, you know, improve the way they you know, are empathetic, how they sell.
Well, it's very simple. However, it is very sometimes challenging to accomplish.
Yeah.
The empathy formula that we like to use is value plus appreciation plus understanding multiplied by listening equals a connection or equals empathy. Now, let's break that down. Mm. What is value? When I understand that my value is what I actually bring to the table, and I inherently understand my pain, my woes, everything about me, when I communicate, I'm communicating from a valuable place. So everything that I have to say, guess what, is valuable. Now, I flip that same precept and concept to the person that I'm listening to. Now I understand that if they mention it, if they say it, it's valuable to them. So when you're in a sales conversation, someone may say something that in passing, but if it came up in that conversation, there's a certain level of value, and that's what we have to begin to pay attention to. And so now I put value on every client, every prospect, every person that I have an opportunity to come in contact with. And this actually both works for personal and professional conversations. Mm-hmm. And so now every person that I come in contact with, I see them and I view them as valuable.
Yeah.
Because if I don't see them as valuable, guess what? I can't even get to the listening stage of the formula. So
I see. Yeah.
You're valuable. I'm valuable. Everyone that's listening to this particular podcast, they have a certain level of value. Now that I have that and I begin to put that in practice, and there are certain things when we do consulting and coaching, there are certain things we help people to unpack that value that they can begin to implement into their life every day.
Yep.
We go from value to appreciation.
Yeah.
See, the common denominator in most conversations that don't work is they're trying to get the other person to agree with them. But here's the thing. I don't have to agree with you in order to appreciate what you have to say.
Yeah.
And so here it is.
Well, hold on one second. I don't have to agree with you in order to appreciate. But I don't know if a lot of people get stuck there probably, right?
Yeah, yes. That is what we call the tug of war. Mm-hmm. And so now it's a tug of war. I'm right. You're wrong. It's this way. It's that way. Mm-hmm. No, it's just different.
Right.
And so I can appreciate what you have to say. And so when you get into your negotiations, when you get into your conversations, basically what happens is that tug of war is like we're fundamentally trying to seek validation. There's a portion of our brain called the amygdala, which actually seeks to seek similar and like matters.
Okay.
And if we don't see similar and like matters, what happens is a trigger goes off in our brain that says fight, flight, or freeze.
Mm-hmm.
So when someone says something that we don't necessarily agree with, the amygdala kicks into overdrive and says, okay, it's time to fight. Or okay, it's time to freeze and do nothing. Or okay, it's time to go in another direction. See, when we operate from our prefrontal cortex, that's where trust lives. And prefrontal cortex releases all your oxytocin and your feel-good feelings. And so there are certain words that we can begin to use that shows our level of appreciation, that shows our level of, you know what, I can see where you're coming from. That shows us, I may not agree with you, but I simply appreciate your particular perspective. So now we have our value, our appreciation, and the next level is the understanding. I seek to understand their particular perspective. I seek to understand their point of view. I may have grown up in a rural area. You may have grown up in a more city and a suburban area. And so that way, if I have that perspective of now I'm changing the filter of rather from rural to suburbia or city life. Now, once again, I get a peek into how you do what you do. So I value you. I appreciate what you have to say, and I'm seeking to understand your perspective. Now, I wrap all that with active listening skills, being present and in the moment, not thinking about what I have to have for lunch, not thinking about what's going on at the office, all these different things. Being present and in the moment, we can build that connection that we call empathy.
So value, appreciation, understanding, that listening part, does all of those build up? And I don't mean to dive too much into the formula, but okay, I get the value. We need to value each other. Appreciation, we have to start basically appreciating them for who they are, what they do. Understanding, we take that and try to put ourselves really in their shoes. I understand they came from maybe a different area. But does that then, this multiplied by listening, because it was plus, 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 and then multiplied by listening, is there a way that people become more active listeners, or they can be better listeners? Because I hear that we often hear this in sales, but you know, I had a mentor tell me, you know, you have two ears, one mouth, use it like that. But I don't know if people really know how to listen. Is there any thoughts or advice on multiplied by listening there?
Yes, there is. Actually, in my talks and in some of my consulting, I talk about the 10 barriers of listening. And some of those 10 barriers are both technology driven and also just internally driven. And so when I take someone through the process, we actually uncover their own internal challenges or own internal barriers of listening. Yeah. And some of those internal barriers are basically what we call things that sabotage their ability to bring connection. And so as we unbreak that, as we unpack it, as we just uncover all those hidden things, guess what? Now we have an opportunity to say, you know what? This is what's been getting my way of listening. And as it gets in my way, I move it out the way. And now I'm open to value a person. I'm open to appreciate them. I'm open to seek to understand them. And I wrap that all that in just simply seeking to listen, because most of the time people are not listening to understand or connect. They're listening to respond.
Yeah. Oh, I like that. So purpose-driven listening almost. Yeah.
Exactly. So I'm not – and so you find this sometimes. My wife and I, we coach different couples in this particular capacity, because I don't care what problems you're having. You know, typically it can be solved by effective listening or effective communication.
Yeah.
And so within that, basically what happens is we now have an opportunity to build a bridge of connection. We now have an opportunity to build that bridge of empathy. And when we wrap it all up in listening, now I'm not trying to interrupt you. I'm really trying to hear your heart.
Yeah.
Now I'm listening. And so let's switch it to, or, you know, put that in sales terms. So when we're having those sales conversations, most people just have, and they have those bullet points that they're going through in those sales conversations, or the questions that they want to ask to get them to the widget, the doodads and the doohickeys of their particular product or service. But if I'm not listening to you actively, you're saying something that I'm missing. And if I'm missing it, then I'm addressing a need that's not even there.
Yeah. Happens a lot. I think that happens a lot. Why do you feel like, I mean, I listen to you and I'm like, this is obviously really important, especially just that definition of empathy you gave, you know, being able to put yourself in other shoes. I mean, we're sellers. That's who's, you know, listening to this episode here. We're sellers and we're sales leaders, and we have got to be able to find that empathy with our customers, and obviously in order to relate and sell to them and continue that relationship. Why are we bad at it? Is it just because we don't know? Is it because we haven't been taught kind of the steps to do it? Are people just naturally bad? Like, why does this not happen? I mean, I'm being sold stuff all the time, Daryl, and I just very rarely do I feel a connection with the vendor, the seller, the party on the other side. I just don't, and maybe I'm being too tough, but it just seems like it's not working.
We're bad at it because by human nature, we are simply selfish.
Yeah.
There's no fancy definition about it. We are just simply selfish. If you think about it, when you hear a child crying, that child is crying for a sense of validation and attention. And so they get into the pattern of if I make a statement, or if I do something, if I yell, I get the attention that I want, and the attention makes me feel good. And so we are conditioned that way I have one of my mentors said it this way: if you must speak, ask a question.
Yeah.
And so if I'm asking a question, I'm creating dialogue and not a monologue.
Yeah.
And so we are innately selfish because we want to make everything about us. We want everything, you know, I did this or I did that or I did this. But where is the we in your success. Mm. If you don't have the we in your success, then unfortunately, you're approaching things from a selfish mindset, and you're approaching everything from an opportunity where you're not building bridges, you're actually collapsing.
Yeah, wow. I mean, I love that. I mean, it is just, look, it's selfish, man. You've got to get out of yourself. You got to get out of that bubble and start looking at other people, seeing that they're there, and then putting yourself in their shoes. Darrell, I love the talk track. We come to kind of a close here. I'm tempted, man. I might have to bring you back on to dive deeper into listening. I'd love to hear some of those other barriers. I just feel like in sales, yeah, we're just not... You know, truthfully, we all know it. We all know we need to listen. We all know we need to be empathetic. But man, to your point, we need to walk through it. You got to practice it, just like an athlete. I mean, you got to continue to practice. I just don't think you can be awesome. Everybody has a coach. I mean, you and I, you're more of an athlete. I'm a wannabe athlete. But I mean, we had coaches, right? I mean, yeah, Tiger Woods had a coach, you know, I guess when he was killing it. I mean, why do salespeople believe they don't need coaching? Guys, you need coaching, and these are the skills you need to be practicing in order to win. I can get off my soapbox, but quick comments on that, Darrell.
And let's look at it like this. You know, the sales field is predominantly a male dominated industry.
Yeah.
And so the unique thing about that is testosterone is one of those things. And so I work, like I said, I work with a lot of female and male dynamics. And a lot of times I get the question of, like, you know, why do men have a hard time listening?
Right.
Because here is a thing about testosterone. It builds us up to be leaders, but it also builds us up to think that we know everything.
Yeah.
And so if I think I know everything, then guess what? No one can teach me anything. And so the important part that we have to really begin to understand that effective communication, effective listening touches every area of your life. And if you have an opportunity to really develop your communication skills, then you can begin to soar. Why? Because as your communication goes, so does your success.
Yeah. Yeah. Success and communicate. I mean, it is, especially when we're talking about a role like sales. I mean, you have got to be a master communicator. That is absolutely true. And obviously, I think being a master communicator helps, you know, part of that is being a master listener. Darrell, let me ask you this as we wrap. I'd love to continue the dialogue. If somebody wants, you know what, before I ask that, if you had to summarize, I mean, we talked about a lot today. Summarizing kind of today's session in just a couple lines, what comes to mind?
If I had to summarize this particular time together, I would have to really begin to understand and make the statement, look at your life. And I have to say it this way, and it's in more of a frame of a question. And because communication touches every area of your life,
right,
what is your poor communication or what is your lack of empathy costing you?
Yeah, I love it. I love it, man. Let's leave it at that. If someone wants to get a hold of you, Darrell, learn a little bit more about this concept, dive deeper, recommendations, advice, or thoughts.
Well, I'm going to give you three ways to contact me. First way is you can always go to my website. That is DarrellFletcherSpeaks.com. Mm-hmm. That is Darrell, D-A-R-Y-L, Fletcher, F-L-E-T-C-H-E-R, Speaks, S-P-E-A-K-S.com. I'm also available on LinkedIn, Darrell Fletcher Speaks or Darrell Fletcher. Same way you can connect with me there. And I also have a free download, actually, helping people to uncover and really begin to discover the cost of poor communication. And you can go over to bit.ly/the cost of poor communication. The cost of poor communication. It is a free ebook download, not very long, but it tells you and simply explains how poor communication can cost you and what you can do about it in order to help your build your personal and your professional life.
I love it. I love it, Darrell. Fantastic episode. Great session. I think very tactical advice for leaders. So thank you for joining. And for the audience, remember, success, it's just one play away. Want more sales secrets? Go to salessecrets.io to receive copies of our latest research and best practice content to help you crush your quota.